Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's consideration is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and I'm including verse 30. As Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is our text. Friends in Christ, I read verse 30 along with verses 31 to 32, even though it's not in your bulletin, because of the striking irony it reveals. Verse 30 celebrates disciples who just believed in Jesus. Notice, as Jesus was saying these things, many believed in him. But I'm going to propose to you that verses 31 to 32 today highlight another group: apostates, former believers, fickle followers who had most likely rejected Christ. The NIV, the EHV, and the ESV may hint at this apostasy by adding the word "had," which the New King James Version doesn't have in it. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. John notes an example of apostasy in a few chapters back during Jesus' Galilean ministry. Christ had been preaching about the bread of heaven. The Jews had said, "Well, God sent us the bread of heaven in the Old Testament." And Jesus said, "No, that was not the bread of heaven. I am the bread of heaven." And then he said to them, after he detected in them unbelief, "But there are some of you who do not believe." And then John goes on to say, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And John adds in chapter 7, verse 5, just a few verses down the line, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." And besides these apostates, John repeatedly notes that the Jews were now seeking to kill Jesus. Jesus' 12 disciples mirrored this paradox of belief and unbelief in their lives. Remember, Judas, who was a keeper of the money, was also the one who betrayed Christ. And then in Matthew, we hear about how Peter, he gave that great confession of faith, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," which Christ commended as being the basis upon which the church is built, faith. That very same Peter, just 7 verses down, Jesus says to Peter after that great confession, "Get behind me, Satan," because he had stood in the way and had wanted to prevent Jesus from going to Jerusalem to die. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus warns all of you disciples will fall away and deny me. And what did Peter say? "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you," he says. Not only Peter denies Christ, they all do, all the disciples. And as Jesus is taken into custody, Matthew writes, all the disciples left him and fled. So this theme of unbelief, even among the disciples, is not unusual. It's a leitmotif that you find from beginning to end. So Jesus in our text is speaking to a group of Jews who had believed in him. And that becomes obvious to you, if not in that text, in the context, as we shall see. They're still following him. Followers indeed, but not true disciples. There's a difference. And that is patently clear in the dialogue. 7 verses after this text, where Jesus says to these former believers, "You are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me. Would he be saying that to true believers? My word finds no place in you. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. So as Jesus' wording to these apostates warned them, and the new believers that we just heard about in verse 30, and they warn us, lest we think that we're going to continue in the word. We must continually be prepared to continue and not just assume it's going to happen. Will I persist all my days in believing in Christ, or will I, like they, or like Peter, or like the disciples, follow the devil, the world, or my sinful flesh to deny Christ? That is the question that Jesus seems to be asking. Jesus teaches us, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the early Pentecost Christians provide a model there in Acts 2. They, Luke writes, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. And then in his second epistle, John, the same writer of the gospel for today, writes these words, whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So two blessings of abiding in Christ last forever, and they're laid out in our text. A plenitude of names of today's unbelievers can vaporize from our tongues like vocal confetti: postmodernists, new atheists, agnostics, skeptics, suffusing Pilate's words in our age, words that discard God and morality. What is truth? God promises that we will know the truth, and that's one of the blessings. He teaches if we listen to, read his word, we will, what? Know the truth. We attend college for knowledge. The line rolls off our tongues like poetry. But God's written word and Christ, the incarnate word, to whom it gives witness, bestow divine knowledge. And that's beyond any kind of knowledge that we learn in our courses. The knowledge we gain from our majors is wonderful. It gives us the kind of knowledge we need to go and to think, to learn, to get a job. But in the Bible, we learn how Christ came to earth to save us from sin and death. Knowing that truth, which is in him and through him and by him, leads to the second truth that will last forever, that Christ's truth will set you free. We value freedom and liberty in this country. In fact, it's enshrined in some of our basic documents: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But many, as we all know, turn freedom into license, carte blanche, complete freedom to act as one wishes or thinks best. But license to do whatever we wish is a proverbial noose that strangles the soul if it lacks moral responsibility. Not just salvation, but wisdom. And now notice the four cardinal virtues. These all come from reading the scripture. Steadfastness, temperance. These are all the things that we learn from reading God's word. Prudence. The word teaches the true meaning of freedom, of liberty, of God-pleasing license. Therefore, God calls all of us believers in Christ to live in the liberty of the gospel, which through Christ has freed us from sin, death, and the devil. Christ calls us to continue, to abide, to remain, to endure, to keep on keeping on, to last, to persevere, to persist in God's word, regular church attendance, the sacraments, and in placing our trust in Christ alone. Paul put it in his words to the Corinthians, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Christ came to earth to live a perfect life and to nail our sins to the cross in Christ, thus removing your sins and mine by his blood. The guilty conscience, it should not bother you when you go to Christ for all those sins you've committed. Christ has removed them upon the cross. And that's what gives true liberty, the liberty to go and serve others. In Jesus, we have been given the freedom that God calls salvation. That freedom in Christ is truly liberating. And echoing Luther's words, it makes us, quote, a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none, but as well, a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech you so to guide and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may not exalt ourselves, but humbly fear you with our whole hearts, hear and keep your word, and keep the day of rest holy, that we also may be sanctified by your word, continuing in it for the rest of our lives. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in your Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer, and then so to amend and better our lives in accordance with your word, that we may avoid all offenses and finally obtain eternal salvation. Through your grace in Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.